Today's shir is Masechta Bava Kama, Daf Samach Dalad. We will begin by Ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Samach Gimel Amud Beis, six lines from the bottom. In our previous shir, the Gemara had been speaking about the Chiyuv Kefil, the Chiyuv that you have to pay Kefil if somebody is a Ganif. And we had also discussed in that shir that the Halacha certainly is a Toin Tainus Ganif, that if somebody was a Shomer over an object, and he had claimed that it was stolen, and then it turns out that he swore falsely, Torah says that he has to pay kefil when it turns out that he was the one that had stolen it. The Gemara had quoted a machlokes brises, what the two psukim that speak about kefil, if what is the subject of those two psukim? One opinion held that one pasuk speaks about a ganef, an actual thief, and one pasuk speaks about a toin tanis ganef, somebody who made that claim that was, as we just explained. But the other braisa held that both psukim speak about a toin tanis ganef, and therefore the Gemara begins today's shir with the obvious question: Bishlam leman dom chab ganef chab toin tanis ganef. According to the opinion that says that one pasuk is speaking about, the first pasuk speaks about a ganef, and the second pasuk speaks about a toin tanis ganef, shapir. But ask the Gemara, a lamad dama tavai b'toin tanis ganef, according to the opinion that holds that both psukim are speaking about a toin tanis ganef, ask the Gemara, ganef atzma manole, where will we know the halacha by the ganef himself, that he has that when he's caught, he has to pay kefil v'chitema. And if you'll say, I don't need to have a pasuk, but rather, the way we'll know this halacha is because leis b'kav chomer m'tayin tanis ganef. We'll learn the halacha of ganef from a tayin tanis ganef. If in the case of a tayin tanis ganef was saying that you have to pay kefil, so certainly a ganef himself would have to pay kefil. But ask the Gemara if that's the case, as we said at the beginning of our shir, when is there a halacha that a toin tanis ganef pays kefil? That's in a case where he swore falsely, and after he swore falsely, he admitted that he was caught, admitted that he was the ganef. So the swearing is an integral part of what happened. So there's a halacha that die love him and din li is kanidim. So we're going to learn the halacha of ganef from toin tanis ganef. So then the halacha would be that a ganef should also only be chayiv and kefil if it was included with a false shvuah. That of course is not true. Answers the Gemara: how do we know that a ganef would have to pay kefil according to the man the Omer that uses both psukim for toin tanis ganef? Says the Gemara: lafkele matana de bechiskia. He learns it from the Brice of Chizkiah. The Tana Bechizkiah, the Torah, when it speaks about Kefil, says, Imimotze Tamotze Biyoda Agneva, Mishor Atchor Amor Atse Chaim Shnai Mishalem. So, ask the Brice, Yoim Mishor Vigneva, that it would have been enough for the Torah just to write Shor, the Torah should have just said Shor and Gneva, Vakaba Klal. And we would know that in all situations where somebody stole something, you have to pay kefil. Why did the Torah have to include chamor v'seh? Says the Braisa, ilukach, if that were the case, hayisa'ayma ma'prat mefurish, just like the Torah is speaking about, when we speak about the shor, as the exit of where you pay kefil, we would learn karv gav mizbeach. A shor is an animal that's put on the mizbeach. We would say af kol hakarav l'gabem mizbeach. Only an animal that's put on the mizbeach, there is a chiyuv kefil if it was stolen. Ma yesh l'chol raya, sir. What would that include? What that would include, sir. Kishuayim sir. So now the question is: the sir is understood to learn. We can learn it from shor. It has all the same properties. Hare se'omer, what the se'omer was already said. What is Ani Mekayim Geneva? So what is that the purpose to teach us? L'rabbis kol dover. So continues the Braisa. If that's the way you're learning, so ask the Gemara, so it would be adequate for the Torah just to say Shose and Geneva. And that would include everything. So why does the Torah have to say Chamor? Answers the Braisa. Ilukach, if the Torah would have just said only Shor and Seh, when we look at Shor and Seh, those are animals that there's the halacha b'chayr by these animals. So we would learn from here, af kol dover hakadosh b'chayr, that anything that has the halacha b'chayr applied to it, that's where the kefil applies. That's why the Torah says ma yesh lo l'chava chamor. Why did the Torah have to write chamor? Because the Torah, chamor, as we've been learning, also is subject to b'chayr. Kaddish liko b'chor petek rechem speaks about a b'chor as well. Shoyim chamor harei chamor omer hamani kaim neveila. The rabbis called over that everything that is subject to b'chayra, the chamor included, is subject to geneva. Says the Gemara, if that's the case, yoyim shor v'chamor se ugeneva v'akob b'klal. The Torah should have just written shor chamor se and geneva. Why did the Torah also have to write the word chay? The Torah says to read the words of the Torah. If we matzei tematzei biyada agneva, we shor at chamor at se chayim shnai mishalim. What was the need to write the Torah? Write the word chayim. Ilu kach hayusev imam b'frut first bal chayim. That the Torah is only speaking about animals. That's where there's halacha of kefa af kabal chayim. Ma yesh l'chol havi. How do we know? What would you want to learn? Shabal chayim. So when the Torah says Chaim, Harei Bal Chaim Omer, so all animals are included. Hamani Mekayim Geneva. So what does the word Geneva come to teach us? The Rabbis called over, it must be coming to teach us that anything that's stolen, even if it's not an animal, it's Chay, there's going to be a Chiyuv for Kefil. So the Gemara, this was the Braisa that we just studied, the Braisa in Tana Debei Chizkiya. And the Gemara now begins to analyze this price. Amamar, Yoyim Shor V'Geneva, it would have been adequate for the Torah just to write Shor V'Geneva. So the Gemara is assuming that what would be the case, what would be the way we would learn the Pasuk if the Torah only said Shor V'Geneva? This would be one of the examples of a Prat U'Klal. A Prat U'Klal means that if the Torah first gives us the detail, and then the klal, the Torah specifies, on the contrary, generalizes. So what the halacha is, nasa klal moisef al prat. The klal adds to the prat. And it comes to teach us everything. Miksev, but ask the Gemara, does the pasuk, is that the order of the pasuk? Does the pasuk first say shor and afterward geneva? And therefore, we would be able to say that this is an example of a prat uklal. It's just the opposite. The Torah first says the word geneva, and only afterwards, shoho duksiv, it says the word shor. So what is that considered? A klal uprat. And the halacha is that when we have a klal uprat, ein bechlal el masha beprat, and the prat severely limits the klal to only what the prat is included. So it would be just the opposite. If we want to follow the ways that the Torah teaches us to learn differently mudim, absolutely perfect. But let's follow the psukim. And if we're following the psukim, this is a situation, if we look in the actual pasuk, of a klal uprat, ein bechlal elama befrat. Says the Marvichi Tema, Ilun Nemekomer, that what the Braisa means to say, if the Torah would have said Shor and then after Geneva, it would be a case of Prat Klal, and we would not need to say any other details. Ilun Nemer, if that's what was meant to say, Ilun Nemer Shor Geneva, if the Torah would have just said Shar Geneva, Mi Matzah Amrit Ma Befrut Beforish, then how, if that's what the Brisa means to say, if the Prat is speaking about a certain type of situation, an animal, have a Shar Prat, the Geneva Klal, the Beratu Klal, Nasa Klal, Moisav Ala Prat, the Srabu Komili, and everything would be included. So, even though it's not to the same type as what's included in the Prat. So what the Gemara means to say, what you say is that the Brisa means to say that had the Torah said Shor Ugeneva, but then you could say the Brisa that says that, I would say that just like the Prat is only a Shor, and Geneva refers to everything, will be a case of Nasa Klau and Prat. So we see from the Bryce's response that it didn't mean that the Torah should say first Shor and then Geneva. Because if that's what the Bryce meant to say, then when the Bryce said, continuing the Bryce said, well, if that's the case, we'll only include animals that are brought on the Mizbeach. But if you're saying that the Bryce means to say that we mean to talk, that we assume we're explaining the psukim as if it was a pratu klal. A pratu klal, as we keep on repeating, nasa klal moisval a prat, and includes everything. If it includes everything, then why would the Bryce then have asked? Maybe it only means animals. Maybe it only means animals that are put on the mizbeach. Says the Gemara, of course, the Bryce l'ksiv kamri. The Bryce is explaining the psukim as stated in the pasuk. Geneva v'shor, and the Torah first said the word Geneva, and then the Torah said l'shor, and then shor. Geneva v'shor, mi matzur amr hakob klal. How can we then say that the klal includes everything? Oy ma prat mefurish. If we're going to learn that the prat is mefurish, and everything has to be like the prat, have like Geneva klal v'shor prat, and klal prat. Answers the Gemara, the way to understand the Braisa is that the Braisa meant to learn a klal pratu klal. Because Amar Rava, Tana Chaim Kasamalach. The Pasuk also says the word Chaim at the end of the Pasuk, as we read a few moments ago. So now this becomes a situation of klal pratu klal. The Geneva is the klal. Shor at Chamar at Seh is the Prat. Chaim Shnayim Yishalim is the Klal. And we know that something that's learned B'Klal or Prat B'Klal, anything done in Ke'ena Prat, anything that's similar to Prat. And the Torah means to say, that or the Gemara means to say, that if the Torah only would have said Gnor Shor Geneva, Shor and Chaim, we would only be able to include something which is similar to Shor. Ask the Gemara, how can we say that the word Chayim is considered a klal? And by saying that the word Chayim is a klal, it's going to be considered a klal pratu klal. But ask the Gemara, v'loidami klal abasra l'kala klalma. The first word that's being used as a klal is the word geneva. The second word that's being used in this klal pratu klal is the word Chayim. Now, Geneva is a very, very broad word. Geneva includes anything. Chayim only includes living things. So the Gemara's question is, when we have two klals, but the two klals are not similar to each other, they can't be learned as a klal or prat to klal. Answers the Gemara, that isn't a problem. Hotana debari v'shmol. This price is representing the opinion of the Tana Rebbe Yishmael, that teaches us the Kai Gavna, even when the two klal words are not similar, the Kai Gavna Darsh Klali Aprati, that doesn't bother him, and he says that can still be considered a klal aprati klal. The opinion of the Tana Rebbe Yishmael is taught in Masech Techulin, Daf Samach Vav Amen Aleph, where the Gemara teaches us what is included in what may not be eaten from sea creatures and not. And there, Rabbi Shmuel learns from a klal prata klal, even though one klal is l'minehu, and the other klal is a shloi kroayim, two very different type of words, and it doesn't bother him from learning. It doesn't bother him from learning a klal prat. There's a beautiful, beautiful vart from the Sefer Chanukah Sabayis, Chanukah Satoira. The Sefer Chanukah Satoira was written by Reb Herschel from Krakow, and he writes in his Sefer that at a certain point, he himself, there was read, mentioned to him, a shidduch, mentioned him to a match, and the prospective father-in-law, the father of this girl that was mentioned to him, wanted to meet him, to speak to him in learning, to see if he is a Talmud Chacham and would be a proper match for his daughter. So they lived not near each other, he, Reb Herschel, and his father, and this girl's father. So they agreed that they would meet in some hotel which was midway between their homes. They came to this hotel, but neither of them had any svarim with them. And they were supposed to speak in Torah, they were supposed to speak in learning. There was no Gemara, there was no Sefer to discuss. So, but there was a Siddur. So the father of this girl said, I'm going to open a Siddur, and let's see if this Reb Herschel would be able, Reb Herschel would be able to say a Dvar Torah from something in the Siddur. They opened the Siddur, and we know at the end of the Kabbonis that is said every morning before Shachris, we have the Braiser of Yishmol. And this Talmud Chacham, the father of this girl, presents this Braiser to Reb Herschel and says, could you think of a nice Dvar Torah on this Pasuk? So he says, there are a number of questions on this Braiser. First question is, the Braiser starts, Rabbi Shmuel Omer. We know that Tosfos says that we're not allowed, Tosfos in Masechtas Yuma says that we're not supposed to call a person by the name of a Rosha. So how was there a Tana whose name was Rabbi Shmuel? Furthermore, he asked the question that we just learned that the Torah, Klal Prat, Prat to Klal, Klal Prat to Klal, all these words and the placement of these words are critical to being able to learn the different types of ways Rabbi Shmuel describes in that Braisa we explain Psukim. But isn't there a rule that Ein Mukdam Meucher B'Taira, that there's no specific consecutive sequence to the Taira? If there's no specific sequence to the words of the Taira, so when we have in our Gemara a Klal Prat, maybe it's really a prat to klal. When we have a prat to klal, maybe it's really a klal or prat. When we have a klal or prat to klal, who says that that's the proper sequence of the psukim? So he answered, the Gemara Masechta Basra says that Yishmol did tshuva. Daftah Zayinam Abayis. What's the Gemara's proof that Yishmol did tshuva? Because the pasuk says, V'yikru Yisoy Yitzchak V'Yishmol Bonav. And the Torah mentions Yitzchak before Yishmol. Yishmol, even though he was older than Yitzchak, allowed Yitzchak to go before him by the Levaya of Avram Avinu, clearly indicating that Yishmol had done tshuva, and he was showing this respect to his brother, his great brother Yitzchak, a proof that Yishmol had done tshuva. But if we're going to say, Ein Mukdam Meucher B'Torah, so the fact that Yitzchak's name is placed before Yishmol doesn't mean anything. It must be that the words of the pasuk, even if we'll say Ein Mukdam Meucher B'Torah, the words in a specific pasuk, their placing and their order is always deliberate. If that's the case, there's no question why Rabbi Shmuel could be named Rabbi Shmuel, because Yishmol, as the Gemara says, did tshuva. Furthermore, all these limudim that we're learning, prat to klal, klal to prat, etc., are acceptable because the order in a pasuk is deliberate. And that was the Dvar Torah that he was able to say from the Siddur. Continues the Gemara. V'achikar kashalei. So, ask the Gemara, if this pasuk, as we just finished explaining, is being taught in a klal uprat klal fashion, Geneva is the klal, then the atshar atzeh salma are the prat, and then we have chaim as the klal. So, in Mimotzi Timotzi, why did Torah begin the pasuk, as we read the pasuk earlier? In Mimotzi Timotzi Lamali, what's the purpose of those words? Furthermore, so Rava explains the Braisa. Because what the Braisa means to ask, Yoimer, it should be enough that the Torah should say Shor v'gneva v'chayim, v'klol b'chlal, and that will include, by learning the klal prat to klal fashion, that anything that's metaltal, anything that's movable, and gufay momen, and has value, is included in the halach of Geneva. But says the Bryce, Ilukain, that if that, and they should all be included in the Chi of Kefal. To which the Bryce says, Rava says, Ilukain Yosu Aimer, we would say, Ma Prat Meforish, Dovah Karval Gabba Mizbeach. We speak about what's in the Prat, it's something that's put on the Mizbeach. Af Kola Karval Gabba Mizbeach. There would only be a Chi of Kefal on something put on the Mizbeach, if the only the Torah said Shor. Ma Yesh Lahavi, what else would that include? Seh. So Seh would be included through the Klal Uprat Klal Limud. Kishoyim Seh, Rei Seh, Omer. Hamani Mekayim Geneva, L'Rabbis Kol Dover. And Rava continues to explain what does the Braisa say. So now we understand why the Torah had to say both Shor and Seh. Because had the Torah only said Shor, we would think that only animals that are brought on the Mizbeach are included. So the Braisa asks, so it's fine, right? Why do we have to write any more? Says the Braisa, if the Torah had only written, animals that have b'chayra, I've called dovah kosh b'chayra, the anything that has b'char attached to it, ma yesh lo l'chavi, what would be included? Chamor, what is kosh b'chayra? Kshayim chamor arei chama amar. So now we already have the chamor that even though it's not on the mizbeach, but it has kedushas b'chayra. So that's already included. So what do I need the word geneva for? Hamani Mekayim Geneva, what is the purpose of the Torah saying the word Geneva? L'Rabbis Kol Dover, it's coming to include everything else. The Torah in Parashas Mishpatim says, Akol Dvar Pesha, Al Shor Al Chamor. The Torah, so I saw the Reb Chaim Kanievsky Zatzal in his Sefer Talmud Kro asks a question. Why by the Torah, by speaking about a Shem Echinam, speaks the Torah about the Shor before the Chamor. And when the Torah speaks about a Shem Esachar, the Torah mentions the Chamor before the Shor. Because the Torah says, Kitin Ish Al Reyeu Chamor O Shor. Why is the Torah here put Shor before Chamor, and here put Chamor before Shor? He says that our Gemara just taught us that if the Torah had only said the word Shor, we cannot learn the halacha of chamor from shor. Because had the Torah only written the word shor, we would say that only an animal which is put on the mizbeach, that's where the halacha applies. But chamor, which is not put on the mizbeach, you wouldn't be chayiv. So he says, whatever the Torah has come to teach us, a chiyuv, that you're going to be held responsible, like the pasuk of Shem Echinam, that the Torah teaches us that you're chayiv, if you were negligent, and the Torah, when it speaks about if you found a lost object, that you're obligated to return it. So the Torah says, Shor, and then Chamor. The Torah is teaching us that not only a Shor that's put on the Mizbeach is a Shor Mechinam obligated to be careful not to be negligent in its watching. Not only a Shor which is put on the Mizbeach, do you have an obligation to return it to its owner, but even a Chamor that isn't put on the Mizbeach, you have that responsibility. But the pasuk of Shemesh Sachar, the pasuk that we quoted by the Shemesh Sachar, is just telling us just the opposite. The Torah is there teaching us when a Shemesh Sachar is not chayiv. The Torah is telling us that a Shemesh Sachar is not chayiv by Oinsen. When the Torah is teaching us halacha of Ptur, it makes more sense to teach us Chamor before Shor. And the Torah is saying that not only by Chamor, which is an animal that's not put on the Mizbeach, is there no responsibility by Shemesh Sachar for Oinsen, for accidents, but even by a Shor, which is an animal that's put on the Mizbeach, the Shemesh Sachar will not be held responsible. So the Rava continues explaining the Braisa. Yoimer, it should be enough for the Torah to say, Geneva, Shor, Sev, Chamo, V'chaim, V'chol, B'klal. And now everything will be included, even something that doesn't have Kedushas B'chaira. Why does the Torah say, asks now the Braisa, why does the Torah have to say the words in Mimotzi, Tamotzi? Ilukain, says the Braisa, if that were the case, and the Torah did not have the words imimotzei tamotzei, we will learn ma prat mafurish, everything that's in the prat shor chamon se balachayim. I'm only speaking about animal af ka balachayim. Then we would say that only animals have this din. Ma yesh lel chava, what would we include it? Shar balachayim kishoy mechayim harei chayim amr. So we know all animals are included. Hamani mekayim geneva. Why do we use the word geneva? The rabbis called dover, and therefore asked the brisa imimotzi tamotzi. Why was it necessary for the Torah to use the words lamotzi lamotzili? Says the Gemara, if that's the way to understand the brisa, fantastic. The brisa's question is there wasn't necessary to say imotzi tamotzi, having the entire pasuk without himotzi tamotzi would give us the same result. So indeed, shapa kashle. So we have a great question. Why indeed did the Torah say imimotzi tamotzi? Answers the Gemara, b'shundisle pircha. Because there is a question to everything that we just said. The rabbis called dover meich kamaisle. So what is the way we're learning that everything is included this in this halacha, not only animals, b'klal basra, from the last word, chayim, in the pasuk. Kulal gufa chayim ksevibay. But let's learn, yes, the Torah taught us a klal prat klal, and a klal prat klal comes to include everything. But the klal prat klal is speaking about chayim, so it's only speaking about living things. How will we know something which is not a living thing? So now ask the Gemara, and that klal prat klal might come a hanalei. What is the klal prat klal coming to teach us? Ilasui kol davar hachaim ksiv. How could you say that it's coming to include everything? You can't say that it's coming to include everything because the pasuk says hachaim ksiv. The Torah used the word chaim. Doesn't that word indicate that we're only speaking about living things? Bal chaim in midah chrina loy mishmachi, and that's why the Braisa says we need the word Emimatzei tematzei. That's why we need the words Emimatzei tematzei to teach us that no, we're not limiting ourselves to living things. Ask the Gemara, how could Himatzei tematzei be included in this klal prat uklal limud? Amri v'ashnei klolos the smicha adodinenu. The word Himatzei tematzei are put right next to each other. Those are the first words of the pasuk. And the Gemara's question is that whenever you have two klolim next to each other and there is no prat in between, then we don't learn it with a klal or prat or klal. And says the Gemara, Amar Ravina, k'amri b'merava, as they taught us in Eretz Yisrael, kol makom she'atamotzi shnei klolos hasmuchim zel zeh. Wherever the Torah has the two general words, the two klal words next to each other, and the prat comes later in the pasuk, then hatal aprat beneim. Then engineer the pasuk, manipulate the pasuk that the prat should be placed between the two klal, and that's how we could learn the pasuk as a gdarim beklal aprat uklal. We could learn the pasuk as a klal aprat uklal. So what the Gemara says? What does the brisa mean to do? Shadi Shar ben Amatzei to Matzei. Put the word Shar as if it was stated between the words Himatzei to Matzei. Lesuyamai. If, and now let's try to understand what is being taught here. If it's come to include all animals, ask the Gemara Mechayim Nafka. We know that from the word Chayim. Ela Lasuya Davish Ein Baal Chayim, to teach us even something which is not an animal. Drash Hachi, Ma Prat Beforish. If we look at the Prat, Dava Matatl of Gufa Momen, from here we'll learn, Af Kol Dava Matatl of Gufa Momen, anything that's movable and valuable, there's a Chiv Kefal. Says the Gemara, Vesu, and there's another way, and we continue learning the pasuk this way. In other words, what the Gemara is saying now is that since we're separating the words himatzi to matze, and we're putting shor and chamor and se in between these two words, so what we're going to do now is shadi chamor ben himatzi to matze. We're going to put the word chamor between himatzi to matze, and we're going to suil mai. And now again, why will that come to teach us? It's coming to include non-animal that we already know mishar nafka from the previous klal prata klal. El lasuye, what's it coming to teach us? Dava mesuyim, that it's coming to teach us that anything that has a simen, as Rashi said, we spoke about this in our previous year. What the Torah is coming to teach us that only something that is recognizable, there's a chiyuv kefil. If it's not recognizable, there is no chiyuv kefil. That's Rashi's pshat. In our previous year, we quoted Tosfos pshat that it has to be an entire object, not half an object. Continues the Bryce Gemara in explaining. Yehocha sel amali. What do we learn with the word seh? Ella, says the Gemara. The Gemara doesn't have a teretz. And therefore, says the Gemara, Ella riba meit ribahu. There are two different ways of learning a pasuk that seem to be similar but are not the same. One, it can be taught in a klal prat or klal fashion, which is what we've been learning throughout our shir. And the other way is with a ribi meit ribui. And a ribi meit ribui is a much broader application than a klal prat or klal explanation. It says the Gemara, the way to understand this pasuk is ribi meit ribuihu. Ketani Beir Shmol, as we learned in the Yeshiva, we learned in Tana the Beir Shmol, and what that means is that there was a machloikus. There is a machloikus throughout Shas that whenever you have, as I just said, this type of pasuk, is it to be learned as a klal plal or klal fashion? That is the opinion of the Tana the Beir Rav. Whereas the opinion of the Tana the Beir Shmol is that such a pasuk should be learned as a klal or plal, klal prat or klal fashion. The Torah Beir Shmol, the Torah, when it speaks about the simonim of kosher fish, the Torah Akdosha says, "Azet toichlu mekolash b'mayim, kolash aloi snap of a kaskesis b'mayim b'yamim b'necholim oisim techelu." So he learns the word mayim as a all types of water, and the Torah says the word b'mayim. And then it says b'yomim b'menecholim, ain't ze klal uprat. Says the Gemara, this is not to be understood as a klal uprat. Klal el riba miyut riboy and riba kol. The Torah is teaching us that fish that swim in any type of water, have to have snapper kaskeses to be considered to be allowed to be eaten. My Rabbi, says the Gemara, if that's the case. So we're including everything in kefil. So then, if we're learning it as a ribi meit ribi fashion, asked the Gemara, and now everything is included, so then why do we have to have the pratim? What do we learn from the prat? From the various pratim that are mentioned in the pasuk? Answers the Gemara, chad lemutei karka, that there is no chiv kefil when karka is stolen. Chad lemutei avodim, there's no kefil when avodim are stolen, because avodim hukshlukakos, so whatever is aloch by karkas by avodim. Chad lemukti ishtoris, gneva v'chayim, and the word gneva v'chayim, what are they in the pasuk for? Because look at the rav. Domer, ahaya lekaren kishen shaganav. When you pay the keren, if you stole an animal and the animal went up or down in value, we look at it at the value of the animal at the moment that it was stolen, not what it is currently. And we'll speak about that more in our coming shiur. So our Gemara turns out from the pasuk of Imlay Motze Haganef is speaking about Tanis Ganef regarding Im, that's the pasuk that starts with Imloy Motze Haganef. The pasuk of Imi Motze Haganef, as we learned in our previous shiur, is a machloikis. If that pasuk is coming to teach us about a ganef, or also about to teach us that a toin tanis ganef is chayiv, but not a toin tanis avad, and the pasuk and ganef himself, how do we know that a ganef pays kefil? From the long brisa and its explanation that we've learned in our current shiur from the pasuk and mimatzi tamase. Ask the Gemara, this is all good. This was good according to the opinion that both the pasuk of Im lo yimatzei ganef and Im yimatzei ganef are speaking about toyin tanis ganef. However, ask the Gemara, lamanda omer, that the pasuk of Im yimatzei ganef is speaking about a ganef. V'chad, and the pasuk of Im lo yimatzei ganef is speaking about toyin tanis ganef. The ganef atzmai, therefore, where do we learn the halacha that a ganef pays kefil? We learn it from the pasuk of Im yimatzei yimatzei haganef. So if that's the case, this pasuk that we've been working in our shiur with, hi Im yimatzei timatzei my dorish bey, what is that pasuk coming to teach us? Answers the Gemara mibayilei l'chad Rava Bar Eloi. It's needed to teach us what Rava Bar Eloi taught us. Dama Rava Bar Eloi, my tam de Rav Omar. Rav will teach us on daf ayin dalar mabeis, moide beknas, if somebody admitted that he did an aveira for which there's a chiyuv knas, and vach kach bo edim, so then the halacha is that a moide beknas is potter. What would be the halacha if a moide beknas, if he was moide that he did this aveira, so we needed his admission, and if his admission is there, he's potter, but afterwards Adam came. So I no longer need his admission. I know what happened without him. Adam potter. The Ksiv, how do we know that even though the Adam came, he's still potter? Because says the Gemara, says the pasuk says, if there will be Adam, if there are Adam that come before he admits, that's when the Dayanim say he'll be Chayiv Kefil. Pratlam Hashias Atzmai, but if he admits it on his own, then there will not be a Chayiv Kefil. There's a very fundamental machloikis, the Ktsois and the Nesivis, how to understand this din of Moide B'Knas's Potter. Are we to understand that Moide B'Knas is that he really is Chayiv, but he's really guilty, but the Torah says we don't extract payment from him? Or is it to be understood that in a case of Moide B'Knas, the Torah never imposed the Knas on such a situation? The Torah here teaches us that Prat L'Mashiach's Atzma, if somebody admitted on his own, then the halacha is that he doesn't have to pay Knas. So I saw that the Sefer Das Chochma Musa explains, if somebody admits on his own that he did the Aveira, then what happened is he takes away from himself all punishment. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not looking to punish us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking that we should do tshuva. How do we accomplish tshuva? By doing vidui, by recognizing that we did an aveira. And therefore, all that we need to do is say the vidui and do the tshuva, and therefore that will exempt us from any punishment. And therefore, I saw that the Sefer Derech Moshe explains that many people have the minig that they say vidui before they go to sleep. The reason they say vidui before they go to sleep is because when the neshama comes up to Shemayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu every night judges our neshamas as we go to sleep, and now neshama goes up to Shemayim. But if the purpose of everything is just that we should recognize that we've done an Aveira and then do tshuva. So if we do vidui, we say vidui sincerely before we go to sleep, then there won't be a need for any punishment and we'll be able to withstand the din of every night without any problem. Says the Gemara, but now ask the Gemara, according to the opinion that says that both the Pasuk of Yimotze Aganef and the Pasuk of Malo Yimotze Aganef is speaking about Tanya Stan Aganef. And therefore, as we've been learning in this current shir, the Pasuk of Yimotze Tamotze Mapik Leil Aganef Atzmai is coming to teach us about the Ganef himself. If that's the case, Mashiach Atzmai Minolon, how we know that if somebody was Moid Meknas, Vachak Pot Ba'edim, his potter, answers the Gemara. The Pasuk says, Asher Yishino Elokim, only if Bezdin found you guilty, V'loy Mashiach Atzmai. Ask the Gemara. Ulamandam Achad Beganev. According to the Mandam that says one Pasuk, the Pasuk of Yimotze Aganev is speaking about a Ganev. The Pasuk of Meloy Yimotze Aganev is speaking about Toyin Tanis Ganev. The Laisle Meimotze Timotze, so he used the Pasuk Yimotze Timotze, L'Mashiach Atzmai. So ask the Gemara. So this Pasuk of Asher Yashiyun, my Darsh Bey, answers the Gemara Amalach, Ahumi Boile, and teach us the basic halacha, the Moed of Knas, that somebody whose Moed of Knas is Potter. Omanda Amar, and ask the Gemara, Dama Tavai B'Toyin Tanis Ganef, the Pasuk that says that Toyin Tanis Ganef, both Pasukim are Toyin Tanis Ganef, so if that's the case, he'll only have the Pasuk, of Aisher Yashiun to teach us the halacha of Moed V'Knas. So we'll only have one pasuk. If we'll only have one pasuk, the one pasuk will teach us the halacha of Moed V'Knas Potter. Where will we learn the halacha of Moed V'Knas V'ach Kach Bo Edom is Potter? So he says that man da'am will hold Moed V'Knas V'ach Kach Bo Edom Chayiv. Continues the Gemara. Well, a man da'am achad b'ganav achad b'toyin tanis ganav. The nafgale ganav mahosam. That we learned the halacha of by Ganav paying kefil from the pasuk of Yimotze Aganav Yishalom Shneim. Bishlam Yimotze Timotze L'chadrav Bar Eloi. It's coming to teach us the Moed B'Knas V'Achkach B'Edim as Potter. Aval Hal Kal Hani Pratim, we've been spending the shir teaching what we need the Torah to say, Shor, Chamor, Seh, Lomeli. What was the point in all those words? Answers the Gemara. Then needed Kiratana the Beir of Shmuel. The Tanur Beir of Shmuel called Parsha Shenem of Anishnas, any Parsha that's taught in the Torah and repeated, L'Anishnas El Dava Shenes Chadish Ba. It's only taught for one new law. So here too, since the purpose of the Pasuk is to teach us the Moed V'Knas is Potter, so yes, all the other halachas were not needed, we know them already, but that's what the Torah does. The Torah will repeat all the halacha. But ask the Gemara, Eima Ganef Atzma Mishvua, since the Pasuk says, the Nikrav Balabayas El Elohim, that you are not Chayiv Kefil unless you swore falsely, so why don't we say that not only by Toyin Tanis Ganef is he Chayiv Kefil only if he swore? Why don't we say even a Ganef is only Chayiv Kefil if he swore? Says the Gemara Leisak Kedatach. It doesn't make sense to say that the Ganef should have to swear to, and only then will he be Chayiv Kefil. The Tanya, the Brice teaches us, Rabbi Yaakov Omer, Shnayim Yishalim. The Torah says that a Ganef pays Kefil. Shloi B'Shvua, what does the Torah say? Shnayim Yishalim, that without a Shvua he has to pay Kefil. Ask the Brice on itself. At the Omer, Shloi B'Shvua, Ein El B'Shvua, Amrit Loi Kachayah. That's the word of the Brice. And now the Gemara explains those words. My loy kachayu, what does that mean? I'm Abaya. Says Abaya, this is the way to understand. Loy lichta rechmona, shnayim yishal beganef. Why did the Torah have to tell us that a ganef has to pay kefil? V'laisa, why can't we learn a matayin, b'kavachoy, matayin tanis ganef? Or ma toyin tanis ganef? If somebody is only a toyin tanis ganef, which, as we always explain, means that he was a shomer, and then he lied when he was asked to return what he was watching, he lied. So he is an individual, the Beteros Liyadeh, had every right to have this object. But when he becomes a Toyin Tanis Ganef, the Torah tells us that he should pay L'Shalom Trey. So Ganef Atzmai, the Vesura Liyadeh, Loi Koshkein, that he should have to pay Kefil. Elishalom Shnaim the Kos Rachman began of Atmoy. So why does the Torah have to say that he pays kefil to teach us the filu shloi b'shvua? Ask the Gemara. Is that what the pasuk is coming to teach us? Don't we need this pasuk to teach us? If the Torah would have said im biyodai hagneva, only eliyodai, that only if the gneva was found in the ganav's hands, gagoi chatzer v'kafifoi, if it was found on his property, how do we know that he's also considered a ganav because it's considered his through a kinyan chatzer? Says the Gemara, if that's what the pasuk was coming to teach us, that you don't have to have that the Geneva should be in the Ganav's hands, even if it's in the Ganav's property, he's considered a Ganav, Lame Makro would be enough for the pasuk to say the word twice, but the same way, Himotzi, Himotzi, Tamotzi, Himotzi, Midisham Makro, to teach us, Shmami Notarti, to teach us that wherever the Geneva is found, wherever the Geneva is found, he has to pay kefil, not only in Biyodai. And also, our Shir has identified differently, Mudim, what we learn from Imatzi to Matze, whether it's Maida B'Knas or other halachas, whether the actual halach of Ganef, that will be the other lima that we get from those words.